This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
The only thing that we hang banners for, that we put up around this building, is world championships.
And, you know, the message is clear. You know, we just had to play better.
Everybody wants to take a chip and dip it in that salsa, you know what I'm saying?
Tucker is in a better place.
No, bro, we're going all the fucking way, bro. Pack us to the bowl, bro.
Guys, this is Jeff Giannis.
And Giannis is unstoppable! Please! What a cat! That's insane!
You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Poor Man's Packers Podcast, number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And the Green Bay Packers win 28-21 at Lambeau Field against the Chicago Bears, who are now second in the NFC North. The Packers are first. We are the 2 seed in the NFC. We have a 96% chance to make the playoffs now, according to the New York Times. Very cool. What a fun game. You know, we ended up winning. Got a little spooky there for a little bit. This episode, we'll talk about offense, defense, take news. We're going to talk about Jordan Love. Is he the MVP? How many QBs would you rather have than him? We will have Stump Spenny, some Packers trivia, and then we'll have the Broncos preview. But, Todd, the game, what fun. What was your big thought,
I thought the key to the game was more points. It felt like, I was thinking about this, because when you look at the box score, like, in a lot of different ways, the Bears kind of, it looks like they controlled the game, but, like, red zone defense and the big play, like, that, those two things wound up being the game, which I guess maybe you could say that about any game, but turnovers wound up being a wash, which was good. Glad we got that last one, kind of made the game. The big plays were there. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. Like, Spencer, you asked me if I was nervous, and it was like, yes, but only after their first drive in the second half. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, they go for the 2 points and they get it. And it's like, I've seen this one before. And then I think that was the Watson touchdown, like, immediately after that on the slant, wasn't it? And so then it was like, you kind of had that, like, we're going to do it. Like, we're going to put them away at some point. A little bit nervous at the end, maybe, but how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I felt fine enough. The Packers led the entire game, or they were never trailing, I should say. I was nervous at the end when they're going down, and I think Ben Johnson might have got some criticism for the clock management at the end, but I thought he played it, like, perfectly, you know, because I was very nervous. And if they did score on that fourth down play.
Yeah, we have no time then.
We would have been absolutely fucked. So I didn't think that was a big deal. Going along with what you were saying, too, like, the second half, I don't know if I've seen a spread like this before. The Packers' time of possession in the first half was 16:44, but they finished with a time of possession of 26:31. They had the ball for just 9 minutes and 45 seconds in the second half, which is
crazy.
We've had drives that are that long.
Right. I mean, the Bears drive, their first drive in the second half was like 8 minutes. No, their fourth quarter drive was 8 minutes and 32 seconds.
Yeah, I feel like they had a couple real long ones. And they converted a lot of third downs. We put them in a lot of third downs, but they were always like third and short, it seemed like. And they made all of them. So I was a bit of a letdown or whatever. My big thought, though, leaving the game right after the game, I mean, Christian Watson, again, I mean, it's...
He's a stud.
It's him. It's the offense. I mean, I guess we've said similar things the last couple of weeks, but now with Reed coming back, too, being out there, and he was immediately a decent part of the offense as well. Pretty cool. According to Pro Football Focus, he's the... Christian Watson, that is the 5th-rated wideout since he's come back to the team after his...
Wow.
I mean, he tore his ACL against Chicago this calendar year, and he's already back, like,
it's crazy.
Wide receiver one for this team. So just the way the offense looks right now, again, I mean, it's just Jordan Love, those sky balls that he has, you know, the fadeaway jumper that he's got going on.
Oh, like the Jaden Reed one for the first down.
Which Tom Brady loved. He, like, fucking screamed louder for that than any other play. A lot of wows this I'm sure you were ultra-sensitive to him. Yeah.
Tom Brady's growing on me, which if you had asked me last year, I'd be like, we need to get him out of here.
Right.
But, like, he kind of grows on me. He's legitimately, like, getting good at commentating, where it's like he speaks at the right times. He doesn't talk too much, which I thought he was going to be like Romo, just like you can never shut him up. Not the case.
Yeah. And again, like, I think when he points out the real football-y things going on, like, it's not a huge, like, the can thing, which if you've been watching Packer games for the last, I don't know what, 7 years, you know what that is. But to hear him say it and simplify it for everyone, and like the other little things he points out, he's got him and Greg Olsen, both for Fox, is pretty solid. I'd still have Greg Olsen ahead of him for the color commentator, but
yeah, right now probably.
But Tom Brady's gotten a lot better this year.
I was just gonna say, like, who else has like really good commentary? It is really like Fox has two really good ones, right?
Well,
now.
I think the top dogs are pretty good actually, because I do like Mike Tirico and Collinsworth. I like Buck and Aikman. I like
what are Tirico and Collinsworth? They're NBC.
Yep. And then the two top Fox guys that we talked about, CBS with I think Jim Nance and Romo are just fine, and then our boy Kevin Harlan, and Trent Green is really good too, because Kevin Harlan kind of pulls the weight for both of them, because he brings like that energy extra stuff when that's usually the second chair. But yeah,
you know who's actually good? Who's with who's the college football guy on Amazon?
We talked about him earlier this year because it's Al Michaels.
That's right. It's Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit.
Yes.
I don't mind Kirk at all. It's just that he's college football to me, so I can't
get it
out of my head. But he's not bad.
Kirk would be really good with Kevin Harlan, you know, because Al Michaels and him, it's just too boring for me for the most part. They're too similar.
That's fair. You kind of need someone to be a little more life of the party.
Yes. Refs kind of sucked in this game. What did you think of the refs? We had the interception fumble to Cole Kmet, I believe is who it was, which was weird. We had the Luke Musgrave catch, no catch. We had the Keyshawn Nixon getting flagged when he got choked. And then we had the no real holding calls on Parsons throughout the game.
The no holding calls is literally always a thing, but it is starting to wear on me. I was thinking about that during the game. I'm like, how many have they actually called on him? It feels like one or two the entire season, which is ridiculous.
There's been three all year, and the last one was against the Cardinals.
Because you see it any time he's rushing the right tackle, like if you can see him on like the bottom of the screen or something like that, he's getting held if he pushes the corner. Like, yeah. That's every single time. Anyways, the reffing was like, it seemed like when we brought the college refs up for the lockout for the refs.
I don't even think they were college refs. They were worse than that.
Whoever it was like, just seemed like they didn't really have a good handle on it. Like, their on the field calls were garbage. Like, granted, the nice thing is you can go back and look at stuff, but like the Musgrave one, like what angle did they see to turn that one over? Because there was literally no good angle.
It didn't look great, you know?
Like, didn't catch it.
It was so weird because I can't remember the last time where, like, all of a sudden there's someone, like, photobombing the shot at the one moment where it's necessary to see what's going on.
That was the only good shot that I saw.
Yeah, because, of course, for all of these, they went right to commercial break, and then we didn't get any really good reviews of it beforehand. And then the back to the Cole Kmet one, too, it's like, I think most people were like, okay, that's either our ball or like, not a catch, like, going into the commercial break. And then we get the replays, and we're like, okay, it's either a catch or a fumble pick, because the ball didn't hit the ground, and then they called it incomplete.
It's like incomplete.
The ball didn't hit the... It's like, I kind of get it, because they didn't want to give one team or the other a benefit when it was a pretty weird play.
It was a bang play, but the ball didn't hit the ground, so how can it be incomplete? That's my thing.
Right. Yeah. It's,
I don't know how you make that call. And we didn't get the rules analyst to come. I don't remember who's Fox's rules analyst is. It doesn't matter. We didn't get a rules analyst to come in and go, is it?
Right. Yeah.
It and felt very much like we got to move on from this. Like, we got to just get by this thing. Like, that was a bad call. Let's just move on.
The LaFleur drive-by handshake at the end, I think we touched on a little bit last week, but how Ben Johnson, his introductory press conference, said how he liked beating Matt LaFleur twice a year, and it was very funny to see LaFleur be the kind of sassy one. It's usually not him, and for him to drive by, shake, keep going, very, very funny. It's funny because I've seen people say, like, oh, well, it's the Packers and the Bears. It's a heated rivalry. Like, this is what it's been. And it's like, well, no, we saw him, like, go to a Bucks game or something with the Bears head coach last offseason, whoever, I can't remember his name now, but, like, they were courtside for the game and sitting together. And it's like, Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur do not have any type of relationship, let alone something like that.
Also, too, like, wasn't it, like, one of the McCaskies told Ben Johnson when he was hired that, like, how important it is to beat the Bears or something? Like, it wasn't, like, part of the interview process of, like, I mean, beat the Bears? I meant beat the Packers. Anyways, which, to me, when he said that in the press conference, that was a total, like, performative, like, I'm saying this to, like, it was get Bears fans excited.
It was an odd delivery. I wouldn't hate it if I was a Bears fan, especially with the year that they've had now. But yes, I do believe the owner was like, oh, beating the Packers is very important. And again, like, people go back and it's like, oh, they always say stuff about us in the pressers. It's like, it's only been Lovie Smith and Ben Johnson, which is still kind of cringy, but
Ben Johnson one was super cringy and it was like forced. I don't know. I don't think it wasn't like I hate the Packers. It was like someone told me I had to say this. This is my best job acting.
Yeah. And I don't know. He's kind of a shithead, too. He's going to be him and Kale will be a fun pair to hate through the years here, however long they're together. We talked a little bit about the possession stuff. Are you worried about the defense at all?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about the defense at all. I think, honestly, like, you have to give Caleb specifically a ton of credit. Like, dude's not super accurate, but he is slippery as fuck. Like, that dude is super hard. Those short, stubby little legs are just, like, all over the place. You see him run and, like, turn the corner. It's like, he's deceptively fast.
Yes.
And, like, he's got really good pocket presence. And he's a big dude, I think, too, right? Like, he's not small. And he throws the ball better on the run than he does in the pocket by a long ways. So,
yeah.
I mean, hats off to him. He actually looks way better than I thought he would.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fine. He's been good enough to, you know, win you some games. I think they'll be a one and done probably in the playoffs, but either way, you got to be happy if you're a Bears fan. But yeah, it's, like you said, deceptively fast. It's like Jordy Nelson or Christian Watson almost at times, where it's like all of a sudden he's just in a different gear immediately.
It's like, reminds me of, obviously, a different type player and he runs different, but like Rodgers, like people always looked like they were going to catch Rodgers and they just never caught him. And that's what this looks like. Did you see though, the one time when Parsons was on him?
Oh,
so
yeah.
He tried to get around Parsons and run to the sidelines and Parsons just like way too fast for him. And he had to stop, kind of like fell over and then threw it.
Parsons said like post game something along the lines of, you might be able to outrun like some of the guys on this defense,
like Gary,
but you're not going to outrun me. So it'll be interesting too to see in the second matchup in a week how Halfley adjusts, because there's talk of maybe switching which side Parsons is coming off of just so that he's forcing Caleb to run to the right or whatever it is. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Yeah, that is one thing that I do think you have to adjust, is either like somehow find a way to spy Caleb or like just squeeze him. But I'm like, I don't think you can convince Parsons to not turn the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. And last year too, if you remember, Cooper got kind of embarrassed by Caleb a couple times by taking some bad angles. So we'll see. It's a week away. Offense, Jordan Love. I mean, we got to talk about our king, Jordan Love, in the middle of Toyotathon. It was kind of weird. He was on Pat McAfee today, which not like I thought he'd never be on Pat McAfee, but when that was a Rodgers mainstay forever, it's funny to see that. 17 for 25, 234 yards. The touchdown, the pick was only sacked the one time. And man, that pick was brutal. When he throws a pick, he throws.
I don't know where that was going.
It's once again the dad tax. It was well overdue after not having a pick the last couple weeks. He only has four on the season, which is like tied for or one of the lowest in the NFL.
Yeah,
so bad. He said post-game too, because you see that in a lot of these picks. You're like, ah, he didn't see him. And then post-game, Jordan Love is always like, ah, I thought I could fit it in there. Like, he never says, very rarely does he say that he didn't see him. He said the ball came off his hand a little weird, but it was one of those.
It was like a perfect spiral, though.
So his first perfect spiral all year and went to the defender.
Came off my hand funny and spun perfectly.
But again, he had the drop back fadeaway passes to Christian Watson and Bo Melton. The Christian Watson one, too, it's like, geez, just throw a fucking rocket in there. And then the Bo Melton one.
Same thing.
Maybe even worse. It just hung out there. But still, obviously, very, very cool. It's fun now how when Heath goes deep, it's not like obviously, you always get a little excited, but then there's some hesitation with it. There's a lot less hesitation now when he's going deep since Christian Watson came back for the most part.
It's a good point. For a while there, and even beginning of the season, I'm nervous when he cocks back to throw it. And now I'm like, I'm getting to the point. I'm not Aaron Rodgers deep ball excited, because that was a whole different level. But I'm getting excited when I see him cock it to throw it. I'm like, it's like two out of three are good now. Where it was like 50-50 yeah. before or less. And now it's like two out of three. I'm like, oh, this is good. Where it was like Rodgers was, dude, every freaking ball, you're like, this is going to be perfect.
It was nice to see like a big cat from Barstool. He said that now, and he's a big Bears fan, if you don't know. Now he says when he sees Jordan Love drop back and throw off his back foot, he gets worried. I'm like, that is exactly what you want to hear from the opposing fan base.
Yeah, because you kind of like, as a fan, you're a little bit like, I feel like we're more critical of the situation and like less likely to buy. But when the opposing team is like, fuck, right. Like they almost get to that point before you do, you know, where they have more confidence in your player.
The other thing, too, after the Bo Melton touchdown, and this is probably a dumb me being, you know, not critical, but just paying attention fan. His going to the sideline, and he had his like winter jacket on, and he went up to Bo Melton to congratulate him. That was the first time where I looked at Jordan Love, and I'm like, this is a veteran quarterback. Like, he looked like a fucking Jedi or something coming up, and he was like just nodding his head at Bo, like, hey, good job, Bo Melton. That's what you're supposed to do.
I didn't see that moment, but it does feel more and more like when he started out, he didn't feel like the leader of the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which he was young, whatever, but like now it does feel like they just kind of like rally behind him a little bit more. So it's good to see that.
Yeah. God, what was I going to say? I was going to say something else here. Oh, he's still incredibly boring. Like, I love Jordan Love, but my guy going from Favre to Rodgers to Love, where Rodgers and Favre were big personalities. Love is just, I could put together a bingo board for his answers and pressers and post-game pressers, because it is always the same thing.
You know? The keywords that he says and stuff like that. Who is your, hopefully this doesn't interfere with take news, who's your favorite QB personality right now?
I mean, who even has one?
Just personality. Oh. I have an easy one.
Okay, who?
It's Josh Allen.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He's very, so fun.
Yes, very.
And he's not a piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's fun. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Josh Allen is probably the correct answer.
And, like, Jameis Winston is, like, the honorable mention, like, weird guy that you, like, love because.
Yes, but you can't, but it's like, you can't say him because he's also not, like, you wouldn't want like, him to be your quarterback either.
No, but, like, he's, like, peak personality guy. Yeah.
I kept hearing that him and Russell Wilson were doing something for CBS on Sunday because the Giants were on a bye, and I didn't see them. I'm surprised there wasn't some type of clip of either one of them.
Russell Wilson was going to, what was he going to do?
He was going to be in like the studio and commentate for something like pregame, I think. I think he would be surprisingly pretty good. Like, he's
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, like he would try to be funny. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
It would be bad. I think it would be an absolute train wreck.
Wideouts, Christian Watson will start with him. 4 for 89, 2 touchdowns, the long bomb for 41. He caught all 4 of his targets. Was a grill game for him. The first time I can remember him wearing a grill during the game. So shout out to
Christian Watson. Thought he had braces.
No.
Thought he had braces.
Micah Parsons has like braces on his front top teeth.
Yeah, he said that in the Thanksgiving interview.
Oh, really? I didn't remember that.
I forget who it was. Aaron Andrews was next to him. Was it Aaron Andrews?
That sounds right, yeah.
This year? Was it Fox? Yep. And he was like, she mentioned something about the previous year. And he was like, yeah, I got braces this year. So he was like,
and shout out to him going the braces route and not the veneer Invisalign route, which everyone else.
Oh.
Well, I guess, yeah, Invisalign too, but he's just biting the bullet right away.
The problem with the veneers is it's so obvious. Like, yes. You should get, like, stained veneers. They're not perfectly white.
One crooked tooth.
Yeah. Like, make it realistic, you know? Yeah. Just perfect teeth all the way across.
The slant touchdown to Christian Watson was very, very cool. It's fun to have a player like that where you see him catch the ball, like, 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, but you know it's going to be a touchdown or very close to it. It was reminiscent of, I said, when we played Chicago in 2022 and he had 2 touchdowns and he had like an end go around where he knew he was going to score. But the better comparison was him in Philly when Jordan Love came in, when Rodgers got hurt, and he took that same exact play to the house too.
Oh, really? I was thinking of like, I feel like Cobb's done that before where like you hit him on the slant and he, obviously not Christian Watson fast, but just like quick enough that he's just impossible to gain ground on.
And it was cool, too, because both of his touchdowns were checks at the line. And if you remember, like Roger saying in 2022 as well, that like he would have had a third touchdown if he saw his signal or whatever. Now to have that with Love is good to see, too. And again, we'll bring it up. He got that contract extension in like September for 11 mil or 13 mil.
I think it was 11.
Yeah. It was either 11 or 13. I heard 13, though. Maybe there's some type of guaranteed in there.
Okay. But
very cool, very smart contract from the Packers. It's going to be interesting after 2026 because it's like you got Tucker Kraft, you got Christian Watson, and then you got Savion and Matthew Golden-Wayton in the wing. So, you know, if he keeps this up, he is going to be owed a monster contract in the future. Someone who won't be promised a contract, Bo Melton. Again, the touchdown was huge. I thought he was, it was weird because like the ball's in the air and you're like, oh, it's Christian Watson. Oh, it's someone. And then it's like Bo Melton. That's who he's fucking out there.
I was, yeah. When he caught the ball, I was like, oh, that was a pleasant surprise, I guess. Like you didn't think that's who it was going
to
be.
He's a very fun guy to have on the team.
He is a fun guy to have on the team. And I feel like, I mean, he's been involved, almost had that big play last week. If Love hits him, Love can throw the ball to him when he's scrambling to the right. That's a touchdown, too. So they're getting him a fair amount involved. And I got to feel too, like, what's his name being off the team? Heath. Just opens up all those like tertiary reps are going to go to Bo Melton. So,
yep. If you didn't hear, Malik Heath got cut this week. He was picked up by the Atlanta Falcons. So good on him that he's going to actually get to play somewhere. Do you know what his middle name is? You remember?
I don't.
I didn't either. I would have forgotten. Shabazz. Malik Shabazz Heath. I think when we first signed him, we brought it up because it's a sweet fucking name. And yeah, Bo Melton. Happy he's on the team. Guess how many snaps he had this week? Don't look. You can't look.
Bo? I don't have snaps in front of me. I'm going to say it wasn't a lot. I don't remember seeing him out there a lot. I'm going to say 11.
Yeah, it was 9. I think he had like 14 last week. But for how, I mean, the big play and having a couple runs in this game too. What did he finish with? What did he have? Oh, he didn't have any in this game. That was Jaden Reed who actually took
the other. They took 2 shots at him, right? It was the one for the touchdown. Didn't they have? Didn't he have
there,
another?
Yeah,
ball
there was one other was target. Deeper? I don't remember that one. Oh no, now I do. I'm glad you brought it up because it was the perfect Bo Melton play because he had to play defense. Remember, he got offensive pass interference coming back to it.
Oh, that is right.
Which was a great play. It would have been picked. It was well short. And then he got the PI call, and then they declined
it. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yep. So that was cool. No receptions for Dobbs, Wicks, or Golden. Dobbs had 2 targets. Golden had 1. Wicks apparently got hurt during the game. He did have a bum ankle coming into it, which he's kind of been nursing all season. So I'm curious to see how this week's going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if he was out. And then Jason Wilde was talking to Golden before the game, too, on, like, Friday. And he said he was very, very surprised that Golden played in this game because from the conversation he had with him, he didn't sound very optimistic that he would be healthy enough to go. So we'll see on Sunday.
Are we worried about Dobbs? Is he in, like, witness protection? Like, what's going on?
I don't... As long as he shows up every week, I don't give a shit. Because, I mean... With Reed, Watson, Dobbs, Golden, Wicks, it's like somebody is going to be the odd man out every week.
And true.
He had that one, I think it was the third down play that Jordan Love overthrew him. It's like he barely jumped up to get it as well, not to victim shame here, but it's like he could have had a catch, you know?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, is it not happy with the amount of touches? Like, is that coming?
If he pulls that shit now, then he can fuck right off.
Well, he's probably fucking off anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Like, after the season's over.
Well, yes, but it's like we're in a playoff run here, Super Bowl.
I'm not saying it's happening, but okay. The stuff that happened last year, we never got, we never knew. We don't know what happened.
We'll never. He was upset with the offense. I still get upset when people are like, oh, it was a mental health crisis. It's like, no, if it was a mental health thing, they wouldn't have suspended him a fucking game.
Right.
He lost a game check for it. They wouldn't have done that. If that's what happened, then he should sue the team. Tight ends. Three players were targeted four times in this game. It was Watson, Reed, and Luke Musgrave. I mean, he had the nice first down grab when Love was pressured. I think that might have been on a third down. He also had the huge catch, which was then ruled a drop, which we talked about. And then he also had another one before half, getting like 15 yards, which set up the Bo Melton touchdown. I've said similar things in the past. He is Christian Watson playing tight end. It's like if Christian Watson was, if you put the speed meter down like 1 point and you just had him play tight end, that's who Luke Musgrave is. Like, he can't block very well for his size. You know, I think, like, if you had Watson out at the end and he tried to block a fucking defensive end, I think it would be similar to what we see from Musgrave. But it's like the last couple of weeks here, using him more on those vertical routes, it has been those stupid Richard Rodgers 2 yard outs with him lately. I've liked what I've seen from him. His hands seem better.
It does feel like LaFleur, like, is calling plays to fit Musgrave instead of trying to square peg in a round hole. Because, he's the polar opposite of Tucker Kraft. So you just can't interchange the two. Like, Fitzpatrick does such a better job in the Tucker Kraft role. And I don't think they're not even near, like, potential talent levels. But yeah, like, if you get Luke Musgrave running down the seam, it's a scary thing for the defense, and, like, we need to do it. So I'm glad to see that Matt changed things up a little bit this week, and, like, I think he could be really successful down the stretch if we keep doing stuff like that.
Wiley had the nice pickup, 2 for 21 yards. The Packers Twitter account the next day tweeted out the, like, just a statistic about the one catch he had, but then they called him Mr. Motion. So I like that. That can be his nickname going forward. Fitzpatrick had the 1 8-yard catch, but he made a guy miss on it, which was kind of nice to see. And the snaps, again, just weird how it... I don't remember if it...
Two catches for Fitzpatrick.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yep. The snaps, 2 for 14.
The snaps flip-flopped again, where Fitzpatrick had 30, Wiley had 22, and Musgrave had 21. Musgrave had led the team against Detroit in snaps, at least with the tight end. So... just interesting. Again, I'm sure that will be game dependent. Run first game or running game a little bit more here. Fitzpatrick makes sense.
I didn't see Kennard out there at tight end as an extra lineman very often. Did he have snaps?
He did. He only had 6, which is his lowest out of the last 6, 5, 6, however many weeks it's been since Tucker Kraft went out.
Sure. Okay.
Running backs, first drive. I mean, Josh Jacobs had that nice run on third down, if you remember. The classic Josh Jacobs run where he's going outside. You're like, he's not going to get the angle. And then he just whoops around and gets that angle. It's like, again, a very deceptively, I don't know if I'd call him deceptively fast, but he's deceptively squeaky, sneaky,
slippery. He is like, he has to have like the strongest, like quickest legs I've ever seen where like he can cut for a bigger dude. He cuts so fast and like turns that corner so fast.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you call that.
Especially on that third down run at the end of the game. That was awesome. The classic no, no, yes, where it's like, oh, fuck, there's nothing there. And then he just sticks his foot in the ground, goes between the four Bears defenders, gets the first down, picks up 21 yards. Looked like he was going to score. Maybe the run of the year? I can't really think of many others than that.
Yeah, maybe. He hasn't broken many. I feel like there was one other good one this year.
He had the 29-yarder against Detroit last week, but he hasn't had like those longer chunks that we saw from last year.
Right.
Chris Brooks, the check down king, he had another one, free bingo space every week, it seems like, at this point. And Brooks and Wilson each only had 8 snaps total. So Manuel Wilson is getting phased out a bit. It'll be interesting to see what they do and who they cut when Marshawn Lloyd eventually comes back. The offensive line, only 1 sack allowed, 8 total pressures. Zach Tom led with the pressures allowed with 3. The line was pushing forward for 4.5 yards per carry for the team running the ball. Three starts, 3 wins for Anthony Belton. You like seeing him out there? I mean, again, it's just he's getting better every week, too. Again, it's his first time playing guard, and it's just been a huge change. Like, now we're seeing, like, highlights of him and Sean Ryan, like, locking up on the dual blocks in the middle there, which is not something that we were seeing early on.
That's what I was going to say. It feels like just, like, the physicality and just, like, the grit of the offensive line has changed just with those two. You know, Sean Ryan going to center feels like it makes a big difference, actually, in the run game versus, like, Elton being there, which is kind of funny because, like, I don't know, we all think highly of Elton. But, and then, yeah, dude, like, Belton. And, like, he's such a mauler. Like, I kind of thought, it almost kind of feels like sometimes when you draft these tackles that they're just, like, not really, like, they're big athletic guys, but they don't seem like big physical forces. But this dude's, like, he is a bit of a mauler, yeah. Which, like, is there a chance that he's a guard? Like, is he just a guard?
You have to keep him at guard right now unless you start training camp next year, and Jordan Morgan looks terrible at left tackle. Like, with Morgan and Tom and Belton looks good at guard, Jordan Morgan looked terrible at guard. It's like you have to kind of stick him there for the time being, at least. And if he turns into a Pro Bowl guard, like, who gives a shit?
Well, I'd be happy to have a Pro Bowl guard, whatever. Cool.
And then Zach Tom, he had the 3 pressures in this game, but according to Pro Football Focus, he is the 7th best tackle in the league. Only 16 pressures given up on the season and 1 penalty. And then you got to remember, too, he's hurt. Like, he's got that oblique injury going on that he's been nursing. Aaron Banks, I mean, he's been pretty good lately, but he did have that face mask, which was pretty clear. But at the same time, it's like immediately after the defensive lineman grabbed his face mask, I was like, yeah, let the boys be boys. But that wasn't happening with this reffing crew.
They're letting some of the boys play. They're just not letting all the boys play.
Yeah. And then again, Kennard only with the 6 snaps in the jumbo set. Have you seen that, like, league-wide, this is what teams are doing, like the 21 personnel, not 21, 12 personnel, where there's only 2 wideouts, and then you bring in the extra offensive lineman. Like, a lot of teams are doing that this year, and it's one of the reasons why people have said that the Chiefs are stumbling, because they have, like, those receiver X type tight ends that they put out in the slot, and they can't man up on the edge there, and that's why their run game has struggled, why the team has struggled in general. So it's been nice to see that we are, you know, ahead of the curve a little bit, or we were this season when the league's kind of moved to that a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting to see the league kind of, I mean, it's just like a pendulum, right? You know, you see people get smaller, leaner, faster, and then all of a sudden, like, now you have all these super fast linebackers and stuff in the league. And then it's like, all right, let's swing back the other way. And the offense seems to be the one that pushes everything. And they go, okay, we're going to get big and strong. And God, you see some of these, like, offensive linemen coming out and stuff like that, and they're big and strong and fast. And then you'd say, yeah, you put 6, 7 of them out there. Good luck. Like, someone's getting bulldozed, and that's the guy you follow. So I don't know. I like to see it, though.
I think we talked about it a little bit last year, too, because when, like, the Eagles won on a very good running game with Saquon Barkley, really good offensive line. And like you're saying, it's once again, like, the linebackers now are guys that look like Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker and not Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher.
Right. Yeah. Not guys that are going to just take on a tackle head on.
With that, offense, anything else on the offensive side of the ball?
No, it was a fun, those big plays, man, that's just like sparks the offense so much.
It's fun. It's back to big game hunter Jordan Love, even though he had braids, I think, this week, not the afro. So hopefully we see it again sometime soon.
Toyotathon Love.
With that, we will have a quick commercial break.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, pretty fine. I mean, 21 points, not nothing to get too upset with. Caleb Williams was 1-for-7 to start the game passing. In the Bears' first three possessions, they only had one first down. The Bears also, the first half Bears, at least, on offense. What am I saying here? Oh, first half, the Bears had the least amount of offensive yards from a Ben Johnson coach team. So that's another big one, too, after all the success he had in Detroit. Edge rushers, Micah Parsons, I mean, he's really, I don't know what to say. He's really fucking good. He had 8 pressures in this game. He now is 78 on the season, which is the most by a Packer in team history. And I don't know if you know this, there are, what, 3, 4 games left this season. So I don't know how long they've kept pressures as a stat, but he leads it for the team in the history now, even with Clay Matthews, Za'Darius Smith, I mean, Rashawn Gary, whatever you want to say about him. His pressure
Preston rate, Smith.
His pressure rate on Sunday was 26.7. So it's like 1 in 4 plays he's chasing Caleb and affecting that. He had the immediate pressure for a throwaway on third down in the first half, I know for sure. And then he set up that sack for J.J. Enagbare, which was pretty cool, too. You're watching the whole time, and it's like few times does this happen, but it was like you watch it. It's like, okay, yeah, JJ, you can do your little dance, but Parsons is the one that forced it.
I almost think, too, because when they played the replay, it was like, I think JJ saw that Parsons came free, and he's like, I'm going to track back to the middle of the field, like, which is where you've seen Rashawn Gary do that multiple times this year. It's like when Parsons stunts or does something where he gets a guard or a center that's got to block him one-on-one, he's almost 100% getting through. And then you just kind of see, like, it's Ben Gary that just kind of floats back to the middle of the field and gets a sack. And this time it was JJ, which JJ had a freaking great game.
He's had a really good month. The last 4 weeks, he has, like, either a sack or a tackle for loss, it seems like. And he came up huge at the end of the game, too.
Yeah, with that third down. I mean, Manungai hadn't been stood up, like, freaking once the entire game. And JJ hits him in stride and just levels him. Yeah, it's like, that was huge.
Because it was like coming off after a second down, I'm like, oh, fuck, we're going to lose this game, aren't we? And then it's like the stop on third. It's like, oh, okay, maybe we won't. And then fourth down happens. It's like, oh, we actually won the game. What do you know?
Freaking wild.
The holdings, we've talked about that a little bit. I did do some research again. He's had 3 holdings against him. Apparently at Lambeau, they showed like Darnell Wright holding him on that last drive, and the fans were booing. And it's like, I agree, but I don't know if that's going to like really help. Like the refs are there. It's not like they're going to be like, you know what, you're right. This next one, I'm gonna throw a flag after I have an all game.
And it's got to be a league thing that no one's throwing the flag here because nobody is throwing the flag and it happens all the time. So it's a league thing.
And Parsons has said that like this has kind of always been the deal with him. He's a little bit smaller for a defensive end. He's 6'3", I believe. And, you know, Rashawn Gary and like Lucas Van Ness are at least 6'5", 6'6". So he does get it. And plus he's said that like if you go high, it's tougher to get a flag called against. It's kind of like the David Bakhtiari thing that NFC North fans would always get upset with, that not a lot of holdings were called against Bakhtiari. I looked it up because obviously it's been a big thing with like holding calls, because it doesn't feel like we've had a lot called against us. But I was wrong. We've had 19 offensive holdings this year.
Jeez.
13 on the team we're playing. So we've had it's been a difference of 6 holdings in every or throughout the season so far. The league average for holds is 16 right now. And then I looked it up too. Six of the holds are from non-offensive linemen either. I had to go through like all the holdings from the season. So I feel like a lot of them have been that, and I couldn't find like a way to find the statistic for like non-offensive linemen getting holds. So I don't know.
It's probably, tight ends on linebackers and stuff.
Rashawn Gary, I think a lot of people were pissed at him after this game. I thought I was kind of up and down. The fourth down where he ran after Caleb Williams wasn't great, but he's looking a step slower. He did get a holding call called against him on the 3-and-out on the first drive. Again, he couldn't catch up to Caleb on the fourth, which was less than ideal. And Gary and Cooper rushed Caleb out of bounds for a throwaway on third and long. He also had a pressure forcing Caleb to throw it away in the red zone. And he did finish with 4 pressures, which was second on the team. So I think we can get on Gary for a lot of things, but this wasn't the worst game that we've seen from him this year.
What were people upset with, that he's not faster?
Yeah, I mean, he looks slow at times.
That's not his fault.
He's got like a weird jog about him. You know, like he runs so upright.
He does run very upright, but like what are we, we're mad at him? I don't, like, what are we, doing?
I think since the snap thing was a big talking point a couple weeks ago, people have been like, hey, come on, what's up with your conditioning?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we should be more mad at the contract.
Yeah, but I mean, we kind of had to. I mean, I still remember, and we watched that Patriots game together in 2023, I believe, or was it 2022, whatever year it was.
Don't know.
You just watched him on defense, and it was every other play, it seemed like, where he was getting in. God, Zappy, I think, is who started that game. Maybe Mac Jones started it, and then Zappy came in, but since he tore the ACL, he just hasn't been the same guy.
That's rough.
JJ Nagbari, again, he had the sack that we talked about, the Parsons setup, the stop. You know, that was like top 5 plays of the game. Like, we might lose if he doesn't stop Manungai on 3rd and 1. He finished with 4 solo tackles, a TFL, a sack, and 2 pressures. So I will take that. It will be interesting. He's a guy who we've talked about, who is a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. He'd probably get a halfway decent contract on the open market, but I do wonder if maybe Goody like trades Rashawn away and then uses that money to keep JJ around. I doubt it, but it's just something to think about.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, because you think of JJ and it's like, he's good. I like him as a third guy, but as a 2, it's like, I don't know. We still have LVN for, God, 1 more year? Is he in the contract year next year already? Fuck, I think he is.
I don't know.
Yeah, he is. Last year was his second year, and it's 4.
That's crazy.
Yeah, God, time fucking flies. Defensive tackle, Bears average 4.3 yards per carry. They entered the weekend with 6 more explosive runs They had 54 runs of 10-plus yards. Oh, so it was 6 more than any other team. He had 6 alone against Philly. He didn't have 1 on 32 attempts against the Packers. His longest run was for 9, or the Bears' longest run was for 9. So we stopped the run pretty well, especially outside. We did pick up the 2 nose tackles. This happened after we recorded last week. Jordan Riley off the Giants practice squad. Rookie Nazir Stackhouse was inactive for the first time this season on Sunday. We also sign Quintano, that must be it, Quintano Bohanahan. That's a great name.
It sounds great, whatever, yeah.
He was on the Seahawks and got cut. A guy who covers the Seahawks said that they were hoping to get him back on the practice squad. So it shows you that he is a halfway decent player. And I think it's interesting. It's probably me thinking too hard and looking at the roster, and I'm like, oh, I'm noticing something other people aren't. It's interesting how Brenton Cox and Colin Oliver are practicing now, two kind of undersized ends who are pass rush specialists. You know, Brenton Cox doesn't give you much in the run game, but he was top four for us in sacks last year, I feel like. And now with signing these two guys, I wonder if they're going with a fats and fasts for the defense up front.
You say fats and fasts?
Yeah, because it's...
Is that a term? Is that a phrase we use?
It's one that I'm making up.
I like it.
Because okay. We have the two safeties, Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams, who've been very good in the run game this year. We have Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper, and then Isaiah McDuffie, who's played really well this year, all against the run, and the two other guys can run pretty fast outside, so you can get that in and out. And then it's like, now we have these two big guys in the middle. I really think if they're like, they're thinking, you know, let's up the size, and instead of Nazir Stackhouse, who's a undrafted rookie, we have these two. Jordan Riley, for instance, he weighs 338 pounds. Quinton Bohanahan is 327.
It's Bohanna.
Bohanna? I'm adding a little pizzazz to it. And then, for instance,
an extra hand.
Who started this game was Carl Brooks, who's 296, and Colby Wooden, who's listed at 273, is probably more than that now. But that difference there between just the two starting defensive tackles is 96 pounds. So nice to beef it up a little bit. Yeah. Riley did play a few snaps in this game.
I saw somebody tweeting, I forget who it was, talking about, because Jordan Riley, and correct me if I'm wrong on this rule, but since we claimed him off a practice squad, we have to keep him for 3 games, and he has to be active for 3 games.
He has to be on the roster for sure. I don't know if he has to be active, but he has to be on the roster. You can't cut him.
I'm 90% sure what I read, at least, was that he has to be active.
I would be...
And that was part of the reason why Nazir was inactive.
I guess I would be surprised if they had something like that, that he had to be active. That seems like...
Okay, maybe that's wrong. But then I did also see that, like, somebody was making, like, the point of, like, maybe we wouldn't have picked him up if Bohanna was available. Instead, we would just kept Nazir and Bohanna be our two guys.
I think there's a different defensive tackle, too, besides Bohanna, who got cut, that they were wondering about.
The Chargers. Well. Yeah, I think it was the Chargers D-tackle that got cut, yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we claimed another guy and cut one of these two in the next week or two, or maybe we stick with them for the rest of the year. Linebackers, Edgerrin Cooper had the big hit on Manungai, hit his logo off. At first, we weren't sure which logo came off, but later in the game, you could see Manungai's C
it
on
was,
his helmet.
Did you see what it was? It was the clip on Cooper's visor.
There's oh,
clips
really?
On the top of the visor, like the little like Under Armour logos are okay. Right here. And that went flying. I watched the replay a couple times. I was like, what flew off? And I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Okay, because it looked like it came off Edgerrin, but then like a couple plays later, I saw Manungai's helmet and the C was like peeling off. And I'm like, oh, that must have been what it was from.
I think it was the clip, because right where he makes contact too is right on the top of his face mask, and it just goes flying off into space.
That makes sense. I wonder if Edgerrin is going to get fined this week for the helmet-to-helmet on that one. That was the loudest, especially at Lambeau in the cold. Those helmets pop.
Dude, the physicality that the linebackers and DN, just the front seven in general, the physicality the front seven played with was impressive. Like, granted, like, I mean, they were bringing it too. Like, the Bears are bringing it too. Manungai is hard to tackle. But, like, the hits, I haven't heard hits like that in, like, 5-10 years where, like, you actually can hear them on TV where you're like, oh, that was a big hit, and like pieces of equipment go flying. Right. So I was really impressed with just like how physical we were. Cause like football these days kind of feels a little soft at times. It wasn't on Sunday.
Early winter this year. Cause I don't remember having like many cold games at Lambeau since Jordan Love's been our quarterback.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Secondary, Keyshawn Nixon. I mean, God, talk about an up and down game. He had the huge play stopping a screen on in the second or on second down where he ran up and he tackled the guy, which
hit him early.
Apparently you can hit them early at the line of scrimmage.
Because it's behind the line of scrimmage, you can hit them.
Which everyone knew, of course. I definitely knew.
I didn't know that.
I had to have known and forgotten.
Because, like, in your head, you're always like, you have to wait for the ball to get there to hit him. But, like, he just hit him. Yeah. Which, like, apparently Keyshawn knew because he wasn't even looking for the ball.
Right. Which, I mean, didn't that happen against the Lions? Or maybe that was Bullard who didn't get his head around?
It was Bullard.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Nixon had the big pressure on Caleb, almost had a sack. Because I thought maybe he was going to get him because Caleb like holds on to the ball so long, but he forced him to throw away. I think Caleb leads the league in throwaways too, and he had like three or four of them in this game. Keyshawn was well overdue for the dumb penalties. The second one was bad, but I mean, I don't know. I see why they threw the flag, but it should have been offsetting because like there was like a big pile with the fat fucks, and then at the end, all of a sudden there's a flag. And we see the replay, and it's over, and Keyshawn, like, walks up to Burton, and you can tell he's talking shit. And then Burton, like, fucking grabs his throat.
Grabs him by the neck.
And he doesn't get a flag for that.
And they threw the flag on Nixon.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That's what's ridiculous, is, like, I get it, like, if you retaliate to somebody, like, you're probably gonna... But, like, if you're standing in front of the ref, a guy grabs you in the neck, like, what are you supposed to do? And the ref throws a flag on Keyshawn.
I think the flag came out for what happened before, and the ref's like, I got to stick with my guns here, even though I'm right
told
in front of it.
Called him a mean name, said something mean about his mom, so he threw the flag.
And then Keyshawn obviously had the pick at the end, which was pretty cool. First pick for a cornerback on the Packers this year, which is absolutely shocking. I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but to actually hear it, it's like,
Carrington could have seven, but he doesn't.
Did you see what Parsons said about Keyshawn after the game?
No.
He said, small man syndrome, little scrappy motherfucker. And then Keyshawn himself after the game said, quote, I don't care. I do this shit for me. Fuck everybody else. Excuse my language, but I am who I say I am, and I always tell myself that. He did, again, for us thinking he didn't have a very good game. According to Pro Football Focus, he allowed only 2 completions out of 5 for 11 yards, which is pretty, pretty good.
Here's the thing, though. Like, you have to grade him missing the pick in the end zone as a negative. That has to be a negative play.
I don't know how that ball got through there. That was nuts. I thought it was a pick, and then all of a sudden you see the ref put his hands up or the Bears celebrating. I was like, fuck, you got to be kidding me. Again, another...
That was a bad throw. That was a really bad throw. That should have been picked. That's 9 times out of 10 that's picked.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's just such a rocket from so close. Like, maybe if Keyshawn doesn't touch it and slow it down, Zacchaeus or whatever doesn't
catch
it.
Goes right through everyone's hands?
Yeah.
It's just... That's a bad ball.
Valentine got beat by Burton for a big game on the last drive, but other than that was the only completion he allowed the entire game.
Really? There was a spot where he got hit. There was a zone where the guy sat down right next to him and he didn't get it, but
couldn't tell you. I can just tell you what my notes say. I can't change them now.
We need Kamal Haddon.
Evan Williams had the play on Loveland. I guess it was Loveland down the sideline who dropped, fumble, pick, whatever. I mean, they turned it over or punted it a couple plays later. But again, just a great play from Evan Williams. Good play, bad play.
He's been really good as of late.
Yes. The only negative, I mean, it seems like these pop up, but he couldn't bring Caleb down when he blitzed that delay blitz late in the game where he had his like leg. The Bears were going from right to left. And then
where he jumped over. Caleb jumped over the pile kind of thing. Was that one?
Maybe he lofted it because he ran up and then he lofted it to the tight end. I don't remember if it was Cole Kmet or Loveland, but it was probably his best play.
I think it was that Kmet down the sidelines one.
Bullard, nice tackle at the line of scrimmage, coming in from the safety, stopping Manungai. We see that just about every other week now from him. He had 26 snaps, Hobbs had 10. Hobbs was back in this game, but again, it's nice to see. I don't know if he's still a little banged up, but played sparingly, which is nice.
Bullard might be, like, sneaky one of my favorite guys on the defense. Did you see him cover ground when Caleb was scrambling out to the right? It was like that Georgia athleticism was on. He just eats up space, which is fun to see.
He's got a great celly, too, because he's Bullard. He's Bull, and he does the whole put his hands on his helmet, and he's got the horns going on.
I love it.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, at the end of the year, when we, like, reviewed the season, most improved, we have so many guys to talk about because he's tops of the list, too. We thought he was going to be the weak link on the defense, and if nothing, he's at least a solid contributor.
Yeah, we were talking about him as a guy. It's like, what do you do with him? Because he doesn't, like, he's not great at anything, and you got these other guys who can fit in places.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought Hobbs was going to be a dude.
Anything, yeah.
Not. So that helps Bullard out a lot, so...
And then X couldn't bring down Manungai on the 2-point conversion when the center came in and pushed him over. That kind of, when that happened, that's when I started to get a little worried.
But Cooper with the assist from behind, pushing, tackling him into the end zone. So it's like, what do you? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. What do you do? I guess
special teams. Christian Welch. There was that one kickoff that they were flagged for that was short. It might have hit him. All the team went up to him after, like it hit him. I don't know. But the reaction...
It was, like, right next to his shoulder.
Because you saw him, he, like, did the Michael Jackson, like, elbow thing, and he just put up the one trying to hit it. I don't know if anyone reviewed the tape inside, and I always watched the All-22, but not this week, but it was, like, very, very close. Kick coverage was great. Kickoffs were good, too. I like the Bo Melton, Emmanuel Wilson. Savion, if he's banged up, I would still say, especially when you look at our wideouts, like just give him a redshirt year, especially Jaden Reed back. I don't even want him on kickoffs. Emmanuel Wilson, he's getting less snaps. If he's going to stick on the team, I'd kick him as a kick returner in this new iteration of the kickoff. Because, I mean, this one too, I think Bo and Emmanuel had a return where they got to at least the 35, which is, you know, what the penalty is if you kick it in the end zone anyways.
Having Emmanuel back there reminds me of when we had the Seahawks running back, Michael.
Christine Michael?
Yeah. Christine Michael back there. Didn't he almost bust one for a touchdown?
He either did or got very close. Yeah, you're right. And I think that was against the Seahawks, too, like his first game.
Like putting a running back there sometimes is the play. Like, It's if you can break a tackle, sometimes that's all that matters.
McManus kicked one out of bounds. That sucked. That was it. That's special teams. That's the defense. That's the game. Todd, you got anything else on it?
No, it is. It did seem like Whelan wasn't really Whelan and Dylan this game.
Yeah.
The cold weather gets to him, it seems.
Yeah, it sucked because he kicked it out of bounds near like the 20, and then there's a penalty, so we kicked again, and we're like, oh, ha, 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 we're going to at least kick it that far.
Pin you back.
And then it went out of bounds at like the 35 or whatever. Like, it's one not very good punt of the season. I believe he's still on track to have the best net punting yards for a Green Bay Packer punter. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, game was fun. You see Rodgers did the belt.
I did. Yeah. I just not because I watched the game through like social media,
right.
People doing like mashups of him and the Packers.
Right. You know. I saw it when it happened. It was like, oh my God, be still my beating heart. He's still doing it every once in a while. Pretty big belt too. It's biggest one he's done since Chicago.
He's been a small belt guy like later in his career, but then he brought the big belt.
Yeah. Brought the big belt back. Packers are good. I love this football team. It feels like 2010. Take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right. Take news for the week. Jordan Love, he's pretty good. He's having a great season. Again, we went into the year like third year, second with the extension. Big year for him. Is he going to be more of the same, or is he going to be Toyota-thon? Is he going to be 2022 second half Jordan Love, 2023 Jordan Love? And he's been great. He is now third or fourth in MVP odds, depending on what book you go to. Currently, he has the fourth best passer rating. He is second in EPA per dropback, which is what? It's not adjusted points, but it's points added.
It's like a value score.
Right. And we have to, you know, say it's valuable even though we don't fully understand it. Fourth in off-target percentage, so the fourth most accurate QB in the league. When blitzed, he has the highest EPA in the league. Yeah?
EPA is expected points added.
Expected points added. Okay, and that's a per-play thing, too, that they add up over.
An advanced stat measuring how much better or worse a team performs on a single play compared to expectations. So when he's on the field, that's to the EPA correlates to, like, how much better the team does.
When he passes and stuff, yeah.
Yep.
He is ninth in yards, fifth in touchdown passes, and tied for, like, the fewest picks for everyone who applies. He's very good. I mean, we can go this a couple different ways. You know, when I originally wrote this down, we were going to talk about it last week. We did not. But now after Toyota-thon 3 weeks in, he's still looking really, really good. Right now, Stafford is top for MVP. After that, it's Drake May, and then it's Jordan Love and Josh Allen. So I don't think he's going to win the MVP unless the Rams really crap out here and we win out. I think there's actually a really good chance he would be the MVP, which would be pretty fucking nuts. So I don't think we need to talk about that, but especially even with Phillip Rivers signing with the Colts practice squad today, I thought we should look at what quarterbacks would you rather have. I guess this is also good timing too with Jalen Hurts coming off that terrible Monday night game. Did you see that? He had four picks on one play. He had two turnovers?
I did not. I heard he had a really bad game, but I did not. Two turnovers in one play?
He threw a pick. The guy running it back fumbled it. Jalen Hurts picked it up, and then he fumbled it, like, immediately. They had that, like, Monsters, Inc. thing going on, you know, and, like, and it, like, glitched,
like the Nickelodeon version,
it glitched thing. Out, yeah. It didn't know what to do after the second fumble, and, like, the characters kept running when the ball was on the ground. It was pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
But I have a little list here. It's like a mix of dynasty slash, you know, who would you rather have. This is quarterbacks. Like, you know, we see Jordan Love every week. We've had our complaints, we've had our gushes about him, but when you look at the landscape, there aren't, I think there's less quarterbacks that you'd rather have than maybe you would initially think. So 20, and this is a bad start, but Matthew Stafford, you know, he's 37 years old though. It's like, if you're starting a team tomorrow, who would you want to be your quarterback? So it's like Matthew Stafford, Cam Ward, he should probably be higher. He's 23 years old, but obviously you'd take Jordan Love over him. Daniel Jones, oof, and that probably dropped too. He's 28 years old and tore his Achilles, so you would take Jordan
Love. Achilles, yeah.
I guess speak up if you get to a guy who you'd maybe rather have than Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jared Goff, he is 31.
Nope.
Jackson Dart, he is 22.
Only if we get Scatapoo with him.
If I wouldn't actually think deal. About it, but if it's a package deal, no. I don't want Scatapoo.
What?
He would suck up
this
too much.
This is a different
oxygen.
Discussion, but that is ridiculous.
Dak Prescott, 32 years old. I'm ranked 14th. He could probably be higher too.
Isn't it wild that Dak is older than Jared Goff? Doesn't Jared Goff feel 100 years older?
Dak still feels like he's the sixth round pick replacing Tony Romo to me for whatever reason.
I think, like, this is so far, this is the best one.
Yeah.
Dak. But, like,
I do like Cam Ward, though. I might take Cam over Dak Prescott just
because. But you're only taking him because he's young.
That and the potential, and it's like he's in Tennessee. You know, like, he has no receivers.
I just like terrifying to take someone based on ceiling.
Yeah, fair. Bo Nix.
Bo Nix. And now I just said scary to take someone, but, like, his ceiling does seem really. And he's way
more. Are you saying higher
or
low?
He can do it. I feel like he has a high ceiling.
Yeah,
like, Bo Nix, when he's on, is kind of scary.
But I don't know. He's not super accurate.
He's inconsistent.
Yeah. Brock Purdy?
No, absolutely not.
Baker Mayfield?
I do love Baker, but no.
I like the aura of Baker, but he's really fallen off since being, like, falling apart all year.
I would never count Baker out. Like, that's, like, one of the nicest things I think I can say about him is, like, you could never count him out. Like, he's a dog, but, like, also, I'd rather have Jordan.
He's 30 years old, too, so I don't know. You probably get, like, six more years out of him. At number 9, Jalen Hurts. He is 27, like Jordan Love. Yeah, hell no. I've always been a Hurts hater.
Dude, Hurts is not good.
I would hate, if talking, like people saying, oh, you gave Jordan Love this big contract. It's like, I would have much rather given that contract to Jordan Love than Jalen Hurts, because he's like going to be an albatross on that roster now. They've been airing out
the case
more,
for Jalen Hurts is worse
on offense.
The case for Jalen Hurts is he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, literally.
That's it.
At 8, and see, now this is where we're getting to weird stuff again, because this is 8. This is 8. Caleb Williams.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. I'd like to get a Bears fan with truth serum and see what they would say, but it's like he's still one of the least accurate quarterbacks in the league. He's a lot of fun, though. He would be a fun guy to watch every week, kind of like a more feminine version of Baker Mayfield, I guess. Justin Herbert, who is also 27.
I really like Herbert, but I thought he was going to be much better than he's kind of wound up being. I don't know. Maybe that's like the Jim Harbaugh effect.
He does have just a like terrible offensive line, too.
Which is funny, because like he loves offensive linemen. Like,
well, it's because all the guys got hurt.
He's not the GM, is he?
Joe Alt, like, tore his ACL. He's out for the season. They have the other good
fair.
Right
I didn't
tackle.
Know that.
Yeah, and I know they've had other guys. I think they're on to like their third or fourth string guys in a lot of spots. So Herbert is someone who I could see someone taking Herbert. Jaden Daniels.
No.
Yeah, I'm an 0-2. Obviously, a sophomore slump from him. He's really been banged up this year, too, but I've kind of been a doubter. Like, I had like the third or fourth pick in a dynasty league this past year at Superflex. I know this is very interesting. And I took Rome Odunze because I needed a wideout instead of him, which was a terrible pick. But the reason why I didn't go with him is because I'm like, he's a little straw man. He's going to get hurt. I didn't really think much of the Commanders offensive coordinator, Kingsbury, and then he only had 1 year of production, which was at LSU, and he had like fucking the Jaguars wide out, and I forgot who else came out of LSU that year.
I think you could like make Neighbors. You could make the case on upside.
Yes.
Right? Like you could do that. And what, how old is he?
24.
So that's your case right there. He could be really good.
Joe Burrow, who's 28.
This is where it starts to get tougher, because like Joe, again, you talk about Herbert not having it. Joe's always hurt because he's just getting roughed up every time he drops back. So I don't know. Like that one does feel like you would maybe take him.
Yeah.
In the right situation, he would be unstoppable. That's kind of what I think. I think that is a guy that I would maybe rather have, because how old is he? Same age, right? He's like 27, 28.
Yeah, he's 28. I'm surprised he's that old, actually. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's really hard to not take Lamar. I don't know what this offense looks like, but man, he's so electric.
Yeah, I probably would too. He's 28. Patrick Mahomes, who's 30.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'd probably take Mahomes too. Josh Allen.
I would take Josh Allen.
Yeah,
I fucking love Josh Allen.
Yeah, he's 29. I'd probably take him too. And then this is the tough one. This is the guy who I have number one, Drake May.
You want to say yes because he's hot right now, but like, it is just a little bit terrifying of like what does he actually turn into? Like, how many guys come out and have a really good season and then their next season is just a debacle? But I've only watched, I think, like one or two games of him, and he is fucking dropping it in buckets. So like the accuracy is there. He's consistent. And I don't know. There's not a ton of talent around him either.
Right. He's a really good deep ball thrower. He can use his legs too. He's the guy I liked out of that draft. I don't know if I liked him more than Caleb, but I did really, you know, again, that I think I said a couple of weeks ago, that month when Jordan Love looked terrible, I was like, maybe we're really, really bad and we take this guy. And then, Elliot Wolf for the Patriots, of course, ends up drafting him. But yeah, with the weapons, it's Diggs, it's Kyle Williams, it's Kayshon Booty, it's Hunter Henry, it's Trayvon Henderson, you know, the rookie running back too. So it's like not a great set of offensive specialists with them, but that's why I'm like...
You imagine Drake May, if you put Drake May on the Vikings, Like, what does that look like?
Right, and that's what they wanted to do.
It's ludicrous.
But they weren't allowed to. They didn't have enough draft picks to give up. But yeah, so it's like, once you look at the landscape, Jordan Love, I mean, conservatively, I'd say fifth or sixth in the league for guys that you would want right now.
Yeah, I think that that's probably right. That's, I love having Jordan Love too. And the way he's been playing lately, he's kind of like settling in. And I think you could make the case that on some of these iffy ones, like he could even be top five.
And it's fun to get the fadeaway. Like now he's getting that thing that other people are talking
it's
about.
It's wild that it's like that. That's like a thing that he has now. It's funny, the identity, like Rodgers is the Hail Mary guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now Love is kind of turning into the fadeaway jumper, like falling back, makes a play.
So again, all the guys who you could probably make an argument for, Drake May, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, which are seven names there. And I think you could argue pretty well that he'd be top five out of those top seven there.
Yeah, I think you could toss out Herbert maybe and feel good about that too.
Yeah. With that, do you have the Stump Spenny for the week?
I do. So I don't know if you know this. This is, they're all related to the team we're about to play.
Yeah, usually.
That was just me stalling.
We're playing the Broncos.
Okay, so Stump Spenny, the Packers' last victory in Denver came in 2007. Who scored the game-winning touchdown? Hint, it was in overtime.
Oh.
There's actually two hints.
That was Greg Jennings. That's
okay.
That's a very easy one. One of my favorite memories watching, because I was, in high school, as a freshman in high school, sophomore in high school, whatever it was. And I still remember watching the game with my dad. And it's like, the ball's in the air. We see Greg Jennings catching. We both just jumped up and it was like, oh, cool. But like the first play in overtime too. And that was the terrible year of commentating because it was like Kornheiser, Mike Tirico before he was good. And Ron Jaworski too. Like they had three guys in the booth and it just did not work very well.
Oh, three guys in the booth. Doesn't work very well, huh?
No, not at all.
The actual hint was it came on the first play from scrimmage in overtime.
There you go. Yeah. That was I think when people think of Greg Jennings, that is the play, unless you're referencing the Madden YouTube video.
When I think of Greg Jennings, I think of the catch in the Super Bowl where he gets absolutely nailed by
Troy.
Yeah,
that too. That seems like
such a hard ball to catch that, like to hold on.
Like when I think of lo-fi replays, I think of Brett Favre.
Okay.
When I think of like HD-ish, I think of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The preview, we are playing the Denver Broncos on Sunday. It is on CBS, 3:25 kickoff. A crew of Nance, Romo, and Wolfson, the lady on the sideline. And then the week after this, the next Packer Bear game, we're going to have Burkhart, Brady, and Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi again, which will be three times in 4 weeks, getting the top crew from Fox.
Oh, wow.
Packers in Denver. Did you see the line for this game?
I did not.
Guess the line.
Broncos, 1.5? I don't know.
Packers are 2 to 2.5 point favorites, depending on what book you go to, which the Broncos are 11-2, the best record in the NFL right now. They just beat the Raiders 24-17 last week. Sean Payton, obviously the coach. Defensive coordinator is Vance Joseph. If you remember, he was really good DC back in the day. And I was like, what team did he coach for? Because I knew he was a head coach. He was the Broncos head coach in like 2022 or 2020, I think. So it's funny that he went back there, not as the head coach.
Was he like the interim or something though? Wasn't that Vance Joseph?
Maybe, but I think he was the actual head coach. He's definitely been a head coach. Maybe I could have kept digging because I feel like maybe the Falcons or something he was, but for sure the defensive coordinator now. Their offense, pretty average. They are scoring 23.7 points per game, which is 14th best. They put up 342 yards, which is 10th best. They're averaging 6.3 yards per pass, which is 29th best in the NFL. There are 32 teams. They're getting 4.6 yards per carry, which I think is top 10, top 5. I forgot to write that down. They pass 58% of the time, which is the 10th most in the league. They give the ball once per game, which is 8th in the league, so they give it up quite a bit. They also give up the least amount of sacks, so a pretty good offensive line. When they run the ball, it's pretty good for the most part. Bo Nix, again, second-year quarterback. We just talked about him there a little earlier, too. 2,954 yards, 19 touchdowns, 9 picks, and 244 rushing yards with 4 touchdowns. Wideouts, Cortland Sutton. I always like want to, because I always...
Portland? You want to say Portland?
Well, they have Sutton.
Or Kirkland.
They have Sutton, and then they have Surtain.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
They both look a little similar, so I get tripped up on it. 773 yards, 56 receptions, 5 touchdowns. He had 10 targets last week. Troy Franklin is second on the team with 51 receptions, 541 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Pat Bryant, the rookie, has 22 and 305, 1 touchdown, but he was second for them in yards last week. He was a second-round pick, I believe, for them this past year. Marvin Mims is also one of their top receivers, but whatever. Tight end, Evan Engram, has 40 receptions for 347 yards, the 1 touchdown. They get all their tight ends involved, but none of them are all that great. And then rookie R.J. Harvey is their top back now after J.K. Dobbins somehow got hurt when he gets hurt every single year. I don't know if you remember. He was with the Chargers last year, got hurt.
He was with the Chargers.
On a 1-year deal, and before that, he was with the Ravens, and he always got banged up. He has a 3.9 yard average and 5 touchdowns, so not as good as JK, who I think was averaging right around 5. Defense, really good defense, one of the best defenses in the league. They're allowing 18.1 points per game, which is 4th best, 282 yards, which is 3rd best. With that, it's the lowest yards per play and the best third down defense in the league. Packers have the best third down offense after this game. They also have the best red zone defense in the league, best run D in the league, allowing 3.7 yards per carry, 4th best against the pass at 6.3 yards per pass. They also have the number one sack team in the league. They force 0.8 turnovers per game, which is 27th. And then again, the players, I mean, Patrick Surtain, one of the best corners in the league. Linebacker Nick Benito has 2.5 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. Linebacker Jonathan Cooper has 7.5 sacks. Defensive end Zach Allen has 6. They have 11 players on this defense with at least 2 sacks and 16 with at least 0.5 a sack.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Do you know the one former Packer on this Broncos team? He just got called up from the practice squad to the active roster.
Ty Summers.
Big dog, Mercedes Lewis.
Oh, God, I saw that, too, a couple weeks ago that he got signed.
Yeah, I mean, when you think practice squad, you think shittier, younger players. But, yeah, he was on the practice squad for a couple weeks, got called up, and now he's on the 53. So he's one of, like, him, I think it's like Troutman, and then Evan Engram. I think there's one other guy, too, but it would be interesting to see if he gets any snaps or gets a ball thrown his way.
Yeah, revenge game.
But, yeah, that's the Broncos. Again, I mean, 11-2. One of the better records in the league. They haven't really beat anyone that's all that great this year either, but obviously playing in Denver, that home field advantage with the high altitude out there. I think we played there 4 years ago we played them Jordan Love's first year. That was one of the bad games where I think he threw a pick down the stretch, but 3 years later, he's much better. Packers are much better. Todd, what are your thoughts going into this game?
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting about this one, too, is not, I don't know, seemingly not being able to lean on the run much at all. That run defense is really good. And they're just like, what was their nickname like last year? Mm. Where they were like,
couldn't tell you.
The Anonymous Crush or something like that. Where like, because like you don't know anybody
sure
on yeah the team, but their defense is so good, which I feel like makes them like that much more challenging, because like they don't have any stark weaknesses where like obviously our corners not great, so if you can attack our corners you're in good shape, right? But they just seem like pretty well rounded from everything that I can tell, so that makes me a little bit nervous of like how do we attack them. And then just the inconsistencies on offense with Bo Nix, hoping for continued inconsistencies and not, because like some games when Bo's on, when him and Peyton are in their bag, it's kind of scary. They're a little bit of juggernauts. So, I mean, obviously they're 11-2. So, I mean, they're impressive at times.
Yeah, and again, like you were saying, good defense. It'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, are they going to go heavy just on some pass protection plays? I'm sure we're going to try to run the ball, probably not all that successfully. But yeah, it's a weird game. It's weird to play an 11-2 team and just think they're like, you know, a good team, like, but not a great team. You know, like, it feels like this should be hyped up a little bit more, but I don't think anyone really thinks the Broncos are all that great. Like, I don't even think
they're
very
high.
Which
is funny, had a bad schedule?
Well, they play in the AFC West, which I think is pretty cake this year. You know, they play the Raiders twice.
Fair.
So we'll see. Again, they're coming off that victory too against the Raiders. I forgot what they did the week before that. I don't know a ton about the Broncos. I don't really like Sean Payton. He's just kind of a meh guy and head coach. Again, it's like him and McCarthy were hired the same year, and it feels like a lot of people think like Sean Payton's such a better coach than Mike McCarthy. But he is having success this year. I think they were halfway decent last year too, but since getting that quarterback, obviously him and Russell Wilson, that first year was terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a low scoring game. Again, I think it was 43.5 points for an over under, which isn't a lot. I don't know. I could see it being a little rock fight here too. It's going to be a 325 again, so maybe it'll get a little bit darker.
What is a rock fight?
When you pick up a rock, and okay. You pick up a rock. And you just,
how does that? What does that mean in NFL terms?
I don't know. I'm imagining like cavemen, almost in the trenches.
Is that a real thing? Like people are like, yeah, it's going to be a rock fight.
I think it is a saying. You can look it up, but I'm pretty sure it is a saying. Okay. With that, Todd, what is your prediction for this game?
So I actually,
score wise,
you know, both defenses are very good, but kind of like we saw in the Cowboys game, I think this could also be a track meet. So I'm going to say not a rock fight. I think this is a track meet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a track meet. I think it's 31-27. Pack is what I have.
Wow.
So I'm taking the overs on this one.
You should pound the over if you think it's going to be that much.
Pound the overs.
What was Billy's score prediction?
Billy has Denver 16, Packers 13.
So we lose.
Denver winning.
So we lose by, yeah. See, I would not be shocked by that either.
I think this is one that I think could go either way, right? Like it could be, and I just pulled up, the Broncos schedule and they have some blowouts where the defense gives up 30 points and they put up 40 and they have other games where it's 16-7. And it's like, so it could, I don't know. I think they're a little bit inconsistent just across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting on Sunday. We'll see. It might be a big game. Well, it is. But like they probably need some respect in the NFL too after most people think they're just kind of meh. My score prediction, 27-24. I have the Packers winning. I don't know if it'll be a last second field goal or if the defense just holds at the end. Oh, did you see they did play Enter Sandman for Micah Parsons in the fourth quarter?
I heard that. I saw tweets that they did
it. You could hear it on Fox. It wasn't like, I wish they could do it before or like during the TV timeout so it builds up a lot more, but at least,
yeah.
I guess they have to actually, Wildy wrote about it, the Packers have to pay for like the rights for the songs that they play at Lambeau.
To play it.
So they had to go and like buy Enter Sandman.
Even though it's not really televised? Like,
yeah, I don't know if it's just because it's like promotional at Lambeau or something and they have commercials and
can't
shit.
You just like, turn the touch tunes on and like hold the mic by it. Like you've already paid for touch tunes. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
maybe. It's the touch tunes loophole.
Maybe it's funny because knowing that they were potentially going to play it, I'm like listening to the songs and it's like, again, it's all just older, like pump up songs, like Sandstorm, yeah.
Jock
I think
jams.
Was one of them. Yeah. It's just
Sandstorm.
I think that's it. I could be wrong.
Oh yeah.
What is your or Billy's bold prediction for this game?
I'll give you Billy's. Billy's bold prediction is Packers will break a 60-plus yard kickoff return.
Ooh, okay. I like that one. It's Awfully specific, but we will allow it.
For this one, I had... So the Broncos don't give up many touchdowns, passing touchdowns, I should say. Don't give up many touchdowns either. So I had Jordan Love with 3 passing touchdowns.
He just had 3. The week before, he had 4.
Yeah, but I don't know. They're pretty good.
Yeah. How many 4? How many 3 touchdown games does he 4. Have this year? Okay, 4. Okay.
He doesn't have very many. Love?
Right. Yeah, no, I think you're right, but
Love's just like heating up right now.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, and then we'll decide next week if we give it to you or not. We have 3.
No, it's 4. I guess maybe, we're taking 4.
Maybe I shouldn't, because mine isn't super bold, but it is kind of bold. I actually had it written in here. Remembering Greg Jennings' game winner in OT with Favre. That was Greg Jennings' rookie season. I have Matthew Golden scoring his first career touchdown on Sunday. He's finally going to get off the schneid. He was not targeted last week. He didn't play the week before that. He hasn't been very involved in the offense, and just with it being Watson, Reed, Wicks, fucking Bo Melton now too, Dobbs, who I didn't even mention. It shouldn't happen, but maybe in Denver we'll get a rookie a touchdown.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. with that is the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. That'd be cool. If you don't, that's also cool. But hey, it's almost the Christmas season. Just leave a little rating. Just hit 5 on Apple or Spotify, and that's all you got to do. Just use your thumb or your finger and do it.
Grab your significant other's phone. Mm-hmm. Also rate it on their phone. That's a nice way to just kind of boost the ratings.
Yeah. And if you do that, it won't even show up on their end. So it'll be fine.
Yeah. They won't keep getting, they'll be like, oh, why am I getting this Packers podcast keep showing up all over the place?
And then you can comment on Spotify too, or review. If you do, we will read it. We did get one comment this week. This is from Logan, who says, Bears fans are so obnoxious this year, it's wild. They talk so much shit, and now they are making every excuse, including the Packers cheated and purposely made the field slippery. He says, it's Lambo. I didn't see that, but I did see a clip of like 5 different Bears slipping, and it did remind me of, what, 4 years ago when Viking fans were complaining that they yes. watered the field.
It's ridiculous, and it's like, we've heard opposing teams' coaches say this before. Like,
yeah.
We tell our players to put the long cleats on, and they don't listen, and then this happens.
It's one of my favorite things to see, and they did in this game too, where they showed a Bears player like on the bench switching his cleats out during the game. It's like, yes, these idiots, this guy slipped on the field for sure. Logan continues on. Anyways, fuck the Bears. Also, only making 1 episode a week and me listening to podcasts 10 hours a day, you guys were second in my Spotify Wrapped. You guys are my favorite podcast, so keep it up and go Pack Go. Very cool. Very nice.
Love it. Yeah. Thanks, Logan.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those stupid Spotify Wraps we popped up in. I saw it on our end, and I was like, oh, there is growth. Like every year, it's like, oh, there's at least like, I don't know, 10 to 25% growth. But we need more. We need more.
We need so much more. And I love the comments.
Yes.
If you have to pick one or the other, don't rate it and just give more comments.
Yeah, you can do that.
Right? Is that the official statement of the pod?
Sure, yeah. And I think it's been pretty good this year, too, where we've had a comment like every single week in season.
It's the best.
Say. Yeah.
And the guy who drunk message the pod.
Mike.
Just keep it up. Yeah.
Mike,
come on, Mike.
Logan might have been the one who did it. Mike was the one who deleted his comments. Unless it was Matthew. God, starts with an M. Fuck.
Somebody, whoever you are, please just get hammered.
It was just,
we all love the friend who gets a little too drunk and says something funny.
It was great. Yeah. Because then the next week it was, I don't remember leaving that comment. with that, I think that's a little bit shorter of an episode, actually.
It was. Did we forget to talk about something?
Offense, defense, special teams, Jordan Love. playoff. I mean, we kind of touched on playoffs. We don't want to talk about playoffs every week, but looks pretty good. We have like it's weird. We have like a 10% chance to get the one seed, but
it's not going to happen. It's too much out of our hands. Well, I looked at that.
If the Rams lose one and we win out, it's like
right.
The other one I saw is if we win out, we have a 60% chance to have the one seed, and I'm like, I feel like it should be higher than that.
Because I think you have to have the Rams lose like twice, don't you?
Yeah, maybe.
If we lose a game, there's like no chance.
Right, but I think if we win out and the Seahawks lose one and the Rams lose one, then we'd be in. I'm almost positive on that, but I could be wrong too.
Yeah, because don't the Seahawks have a better record than us?
Yeah, I think they have one more win than we do because we have that stupid tie.
They're 9-3.
It would be so cool if we just beat the Cowboys. Or we didn't lose to the fucking Browns.
Yeah. That would, yeah. Honestly, that's even the better one is like just don't lose to the Browns. Yeah. Like then, but
it sucks too. We had the Flacco Browns. Like no one else had the Flacco Browns. They were okay-ish then. I'm gonna say
against us, they were okay.
They were. Yeah.
They also have. I mean, I don't know. Like does Myles Garrett have a nickname? Like what do we call him? He needs a nickname.
Yeah, he must, but I don't know what it is. I just know him as Myles Garrett. He's just
he's
so big and strong, it's tough to give him like a nickname.
Myles Garrett, Superman.
Yeah. Dumb. Yeah, see.
Flash, dumb.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that.
Beast.
These are incredibly generic.
Also dumb. I don't think this is real. I think AI made this up, but Bigfoot.
Okay. I don't mind that one. But I'd never heard it before this, and he's been in the year for like, or been in the league for like 10 years.
Oh yeah, it's definitely making stuff up. Megalodon, it's definitely okay. Not. Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah,
the Velociraptor. The Velociraptor is really good.
But he looks nuts.
Has nothing to do with him. Yeah.
Yeah. with that, Todd, I do not have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I do. This is a fun fact from Billy that I figured I would share at the end. LaFleur has now won 6 straight challenges this year after only having 7 overturned in the last 3 years combined.
Ooh, that is good. Yeah, that is a good one. He's been hot lately with the challenges.
On a 6, the streak is really good. Do I always agree with, like, is that worth challenging? No. Like, what was the one that he challenged? Because he won 2.
I think there was one against the Lions for, like, 4 yards. But he got it.
Well, I was gonna say the one that he challenged on like the spot of the ball or something like that when Caleb slid.
Yeah.
It was 2nd down, and they had essentially inches to go. And I was like, who cares? Like, give him.
Hey, it worked.
I think
it forced 3rd down. I don't remember what happened, but yeah,
that turned it into 3rd down. But then they got the first down.
Hey, so if it works, it works. You got a free one. You know, everyone's favorite rule. You get a.
It's true, but like, if you're wrong, now you're done.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good little stat. Matt LaFleur, he has like the 2nd most wins all time for a coach who's had coached a team for 7 years.
God, it's been 7 years. That's insane.
Yeah, it's as many years as the podcast.
He's 2nd?
Yeah. I didn't even recognize the guy who was in 1st, which I'm telling myself there.
In the 7-year time period, he has the best winning?
No, this is of like, all coaches of all work? Time.
Really?
Which I wonder how you treat that, too, because we have the 17-game schedule as well. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might matter.
Bit of a bump. With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
Well, nope. Go Pack.
All right. AJ Dillon. God, I should look up if he is even doing anything anymore. Take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever. You can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah. Well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm gonna be put down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here.
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's up with that vanilla face? Did you like the game?
I liked it a lot.
Okay, cool. How worried were you?
I was never worried.
Really?
Not true. I was worried after the first drive in the second half when they were starting to run the ball, and I was like,
Oh.
Was that the first drive?
I was only worried at the very end.
Yeah, when they held the ball for that 10-play, 64-yard drive, I was like, I've seen this before. And then they got the two-point conversion. I was like, if we don't score, but then we scored.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.